Good morning. Welcome to worship this 19th Sunday after Pentecost. We have a few announcements as we begin our worship together. First, I want to direct your attention to Council President Ed Beeman for an announcement.
Good morning. As we are still operating under very unusual conditions, it's that time of the year when we are nominating new council members and electing them in the very near future. So please let this announcement serve as notice that nominations from the floor are now open. If you would send any nominations from the floor to Anna Marie, either by phone call or email, she prefers email, that would be great. If you'll also look for an email to come out this week that will give you the names of those that are already nominated and accepted the nomination, as well as those who are not eligible due to constitutional requirements. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. This morning, hope you remembered, is Commitment Sunday. Your time and talent forms and your pledge cards will be taken up at the end of service. On the way out, we'll have people with baskets at each exit to take those from you. If you forgot or don't have those ready yet, you can always mail them to the church or bring them by the church office during business hours. Though this announcement went out last week, please continue to keep in prayer the family of Wilhelmina Edwards upon her death this past week. A reminder that Tuesday mornings at 11:30, we will be having Bible study in the FAB, socially distanced, masks are required. Also, our Zoom Bible study on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. continue during this time as well. So you have several options for faith formation opportunities each week. Also, remember that restrooms are available after the dismissal at the end of worship today. You must wear a mask and children must be accompanied by an adult. At this time, let us continue our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God hears the cries of all who call out in need, and through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and pouring out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The Palace of Aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the restless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, and a rich food filled with marrow of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in this salvation." The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." I call on the attention of all of our children as we talk for a moment about something that's on my mind this morning. Today in our sermon, we're going to talk about finding joy in this life God has given us in the church. Finding joy, as children we might say, finding fun, enjoyment, something that we like to do. You all, God's children, bring much joy to our life together a lot of the time. Thankfully, right now the rain is holding off, but it is a rainy day. It's the first rainy day we've had for one of these services. And it looks like, off and on, it's going to rain all day. And so I want to know, how many of you find joy in rain. How many of you enjoy it when it rains? I see a few hands going up, mostly grown-ups. I don't see too many children's hands going up this morning. But you know, at our house, we don't always love it when it rains, but we find ways to help each other find joy, find ways to enjoy the rain, even if it's dreary outside and we can't go out. I'll bet you all can think of some ways to do that. Maybe you do that at your own home. Sometimes we jump in puddles together. Sometimes we stay inside and watch a movie or build a fort. And we can enjoy watching animals and plants drink the rainwater, because as much as we may not like the rain, we all need the rain. All things need water to grow and to live. One of the ways that we can find joy in the rain is to think of the rain as a reminder of our baptism. Just as the water was poured over us at baptism, the rain falls from the sky and reminds us of how much God loves us. At our baptism, God promises to love us, to help us live as God's children forever. So whenever it rains, I want you to remember your baptism, and I want you to help your family members remember their baptism as well. Let us pray. Dear God, you give us the rain we need. Help us to find joy even in things we may not enjoy. Help us to remember that you have chosen us in baptism and that you love us. And may the falling rain today and always remind us of your love pouring down for us. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Finding joy in the unenjoyable could be a way to think about our gospel reading today. Any gospel reading that ends with the phrase, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth," hardly seems like good news to us, does it? Really, ending a reading like the one I just read with "the gospel of the Lord" might seem to strain my credibility a little bit. What is the gospel? What is the good news here in this passage? We can certainly see a warning, but can we find good news here? I certainly hope by the end of this sermon we will have uncovered a bit of good news and a bit of a warning. The gospel so often is both for us, after all. That phrase that Matthew reports Jesus used about weeping and gnashing of teeth, and with it that idea of being thrown into the outer darkness, is sort of a buzz phrase in Matthew's gospel. It's a code, if you will, to express the idea of judgment in the last day. The idea we get here is that not all those who appear or pretend to be chosen or called by God are what they seem, and could find themselves out in the dark, out in the cold, because of their lack of authenticity, because of their misrepresentation of their own identity and calling. Not that that helps us make too much sense of this strange parable or its disturbing details, and not that it helps us find good news here. Remember, over the last couple of weeks, we've heard a series of parables that Jesus spoke against the religious leaders of his day. 3 weeks ago, we heard the parable of the workers in the vineyard, all of whom were paid the same, regardless of how much work they did or didn't do. 2 weeks ago, we heard the parable of the two sons, one who said he would work, but changed his mind and didn't work, the other who said he wouldn't work, but changed his mind and went and obeyed. Last week, we heard the parable of the vineyard, in which the landowner demanded the yield of his harvest, but was rejected by his workers. All of those parables are an attempt by Jesus to convey to the crowds and to the religious leaders of his day that those who think they have authority here and now have fooled themselves. They've really missed Jesus' true authority as the Son of the Father. For Matthew's audience in the first century church, these words would have helped them make sense of their own identity and mission. After all, Matthew's first audience would have been made up almost entirely of Jewish people who came to believe Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen one of God. But in their synagogues, in their communities, even in their homes, perhaps, there were other folks who rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And it must have pained them and made them wonder how anyone could reject this great good news that Jesus came for us. For Matthew's original audience, today's parable would have helped them explain why some in Israel, particularly the leaders of the people, had rejected this gospel news. They would have interpreted Jesus' story about the wedding as a story about an allegory about the arrival of the Messiah. This is the messianic banquet. Often in scripture and hymns, we describe Jesus as the bridegroom and the church as his bride. This is God's cosmic celebration that God and God's people will be forever united through Christ's love. But some of the people didn't listen. Some people refused to come. So God sent more prophets and the people paid no attention to them at best or killed them at worst. Here we might have in mind John the Baptist, who was killed by Herod, who was supposed to be one of the leaders of God's people. Meanwhile, the leaders of the early church would have seen this allegory, including them, as the people who were invited in from all quarters for the feast. A feast prepared perhaps not for them, but a feast that had to go on regardless of who came or who refused to come. But what would they have made of the man who came in not wearing wedding clothes? Why would the king cast him out? After all, he was invited with all the other people off the street at the last minute. Maybe he had no time to prepare. Maybe he didn't own anything worth wearing to a wedding. How can and why would the king throw this one out? The wedding clothes might well be symbolic of a willingness to participate in the festivities. One improperly dressed would be one who refused to enjoy the goodness and generosity of the king. And in reality, that one would be just as bad as those who rejected the invitation in the first. One who came to the feast without being prepared to participate would be just as bad as those who refused to come. Karl Barth, one of the great theologians of the 20th century, said this about this parable: in the last resort, it all boils down to the fact that the invitation is to a feast, and that he who does not obey and come accordingly and therefore festively declines and spurns the invitation no less than those who are unwilling to obey and appear at all. One must come festively to the feast, for this is a celebration. This is the feast of victory for our God. Now, for Matthew's first audience, they would have heard a word of hope here. They would have seen themselves as the ones benefiting from the generosity and grace of the king, despite their unworthiness. But they would also have heard a word of warning here. They could just as easily be cast aside. Part of what it means to be among God's beloved people is to take delight in the wedding banquet, in the messianic feast, indeed, take joy in the King and the Son, to revel in the joy of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, to party and be glad and joyous. And so for us, could it be that God has not only invited us to the messianic banquet to save us from the world and from death and from sin and from evil, but could it also be that God has invited us to the banquet to have a good time, to bask in the goodness of God, to receive from his bounty even the body and blood of Christ, the food and drink of the kingdom of God, and to do so with joy, maybe even with mirth and merrymaking and reveling and partying? How and where do we find joy in this kingdom? I've known all of you for at least a year now. Some of you I've known considerably longer than that, but this past week I celebrated being in this call for a year, believe it or not. Now I know this year is not what any of us expected it to be at the start. I suppose no year ever really is. But I hope you've gotten to know me well enough to know that I find joy and humor in the midst of daily life and ministry. I enjoy finding those places and times where we can laugh and enjoy ourselves together. And we are at our best when we are enjoying life as God's people. The relationships that we share together are wonderful reflections of the relationship God has established with us in Christ. And what is that relationship like? Notice the contrast between the violence and rejection in the parable on the one hand and the wide open welcome and abundance in the parable on the other. God's ultimate plan for us is to be gathered in and given a seat at the table. And it is indeed a table of joy and welcome. Perhaps that is one thing we can take and apply from this strange parable. Not only to think of ourselves as we are, as lucky and blessed and fortunate to be called and chosen, but to recognize that we have been summoned not to something somber and sad, but to the feast of feasts, to the joy unending that God has prepared for us through Christ. And so just as unworthy, impoverished attendees at a royal wedding would be, so we ought to be astounded and awed that God has called and chosen us of all people and brought us together here. And we ought to respond with joy, with generosity, and yes, I dare say reveling and partying in response to what God has done and is doing for us. The good news for us today is that we have indeed found ourselves invited to the feast, to a way of life that God has chosen to give us in spite of our unworthiness. That's the good news. There's also a warning here, and the warning for us today is that we are called not just to say yes to the invitation and show up, but to participate gladly, with good humor, with joy in this way of life. Even, perhaps especially, in this unusual time and year, may joy guide our life and ministries together. May celebration and gladness be the rule of the day here. May festivity be the spirit that surrounds everything we do together. God has called us to the feast. Let us come joyfully and eagerly to live this life God is giving us together. Amen. Thank you.
Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious host, fill your church with a spirit of joyous hospitality. We pray for bishops, teachers, church leaders, and all children of God as they invite others to your table of boundless grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, as creation waits with eager longing for redemption, protect your creatures that are mistreated. Restore valleys, mountains, and pastures, and still and running waters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, as you set a table in the presence of enemies, so bless the efforts of diplomats, international peace workers, and world leaders who navigate conflict. May they proceed with dialogue and understanding so that justice and peace prevails. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, let your gentleness be known among those who are weary or ill, especially those we lift before you now. Strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to their needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, when we are quick to judge outward appearance, remind us how you clothe all in your mercy. We pray for ministries that provide needed clothing and other personal care assistance in this community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious host, as we remember those who have died and are gathered at the heavenly banquet, comfort us with your presence. Assure us of your peace at all times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of peace with one another. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.